Appreciate the good songs today. Again, I'd like to ask for your prayers, and I'd like to call your attention to a scripture reading. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me today, I'll ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and I want to read a few verses from this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And I want to stop reading there, having read the first six verses of 1 Peter chapter 1 for a scripture reading here this morning. And the thought that I have upon my heart to share with you today, I want to use a title taken from some of the words that are found in the third verse that I read before you here this morning. And I want to talk to you about being begotten unto a lively hope. I want to speak to you today about what I believe the Apostle Peter was talking about here when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." And I actually would like to define, before I go any further, I would actually like to define the word hope, because the way that hope generally appears in the scriptures and what it means is really different from what the way many people use the word hope in our everyday language. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and the hope that is mentioned oftentimes in the scriptures, is talking about something anticipated or expected. It's not something that the way the world may use the word hope, or even we may use the word hope oftentimes in our everyday language, "I hope that this may happen." But hope is an anticipation and an expectation of that which we know is to come. And so we have the Apostle Peter saying here that we have those that have been begotten of God, that we have a lively or a living anticipation of what is ahead. We have a living expectation. And Brother Todd mentioned in his testimony today, and I also enjoyed his good testimony, but he mentioned in his testimony this morning, having been at the Thursday night service, rather, at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church just a few days back, and I too had the privilege of being there, and I'm thankful that I went, and I'm thankful for what I heard, and I'm thankful for what I felt. And sitting there on the pew during that service, the Lord spoke to me and gave to me the thought that he wanted me to bring here this morning. And when I was in that service, there were people that were singing, and they were praising the Lord in song, and the Spirit of God began to move among his people. And people began to rejoice. There were people that began to shout the glad and happy praises of God. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon my soul, And the happy tears began to flow. I mean, I just couldn't hold it back. I just couldn't keep from doing that. And when I, you know, when I felt that way and I saw what was going on and I heard what was happening among my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I began to sit there and I began to think about the reason for that. The reason that that was happening and the reason that it happens sometimes, you know, from time to time when we come together in our assembly, in our worship service, and we hear people shout. Now, you know, we could think about what was happening there on the day of Pentecost and how that the Bible talks about there that day that the Spirit of God came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and that there were people from, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, and they began to hear the gospel in their own native language. And there were some that accused them. They said, these men are drunken. They're drunk on new wine. And I suppose that sometimes you could look at, you know, what happens within our worship services, and maybe you may say, well, those people are on something. You know, they're intoxicated. Well, they are, but not with new wine. And, you know, the Apostle Peter made it known. He said, no, that's not what's happening here. These men, they're not drunk on new wine. You know, for one thing, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said that the prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled here. When Joel prophesied that in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out upon my people. And he said, that's what the Apostle Peter had enough insight to realize. And certainly I believe the Lord helped him to realize that what's happening here is this prophecy that was about 800 years old is being fulfilled here today. You're seeing what Joel prophesied about many years ago coming to pass. These people are, the things that you are witnessing are happening because the Spirit of God is being poured out upon these people. And you're seeing these things happen because they have a lively hope, because they have something in them. And I also thought that when I sat there in that service and thought about, you know, throughout my lifetime, thanks be to God, the many times that I've been privileged to assemble with the people of God, and people just flat out get happy in the Lord, as Sister Motes testified to us this morning about a time that she thought about when she just got so happy. I think perhaps that's what the Apostle Paul maybe was talking about when he said there were times that he was beside himself. And sometimes we just lose ourselves in the Lord. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I'm thankful to God that I have what I have. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm among the people that I'm among, because the reason that these things happen and the reason that those things were happening, you know, during that service is that God was being praised by His people. And listen, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. The Spirit of God certainly inhabits the praises of His people. And the reason that those things happen from time to time is because we have been given something that's real. I'm thankful that I know a God that's real. You know, God is not just, He's not just a being that I believe exists that's far off from me, but He lives within my heart. He walks with me and He talks with me. And He, you know, from time to time, when I can get my heart right, from time to time, I have some mighty good talks with the Lord. I mean, I have some good conversations with the keeper of my soul. And so I'm thankful that God is real in my life. And I'm thankful to be among a people. And I'm thankful that we, you know, in our meetings, in our assemblies, in our services, from time to time, that we give way to a living Savior. Amen. That we give that we give way to a God that's real in our life. Amen. And I'm going to say this today. I know that, you know, some of you today, you may have some plans for the afternoon. You may have, you know, have a big meal or something that you're going to plan to eat today. But let me say this. Let me ask this, church. Let's just serve the Lord first. Let's just give way to God first and allow the Lord to have His way and do what He wants to do in this service. And then we will go, you know, later on you can go and you can have your meal. And if you need any help with it, you can just call me. And but, you know, we can take care of those things in their proper time. I'm glad that I serve a God. As we sing oftentimes in that old treasured hymn in the garden, aren't you glad that you know a Lord, that you know a God today that walks with you, that talks with you? Aren't you glad today that those of you that have been saved, that you have a real bright hope of heaven, that you have something in your heart that makes you to know that it's well with your soul and there's great things to anticipate and there's great things to expect after this life? I'm going to tell you the honest truth today. I'm a lover of life. I enjoy my life. I enjoy and I'm thankful for the fact that God gave me life. I'm thankful for the fact that God allowed me to live here in His world. But there was something that happened to me in the 18th year of my life in the summer of 1973 when I repented of my sins before Him and I placed my trust in the Lord, and He blessed my heart with the presence of His love. He shed His love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and He put something in me in that moment that has been so real to me throughout my life. And though I love life here in this world, I am really looking forward to, I can stand before you today and I can honestly proclaim before you that I am really looking forward to what's ahead. I have great anticipation of what I'm going to witness and where I'm going to be when this life has come to a close. Listen, if you're here today, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're here today and there comes a day when you may pass by my body as it slumbers in death, don't you worry about me for one moment, because I've gone to be with the Lord. I've got a living hope within me today. I don't know yet what it is to be bodily resurrected, but I know what it is to experience the power of the Lord's resurrection. I've already experienced it. There was a time, well, let me say this. Jesus died for our sins. And I'm going to tell you, folks, He died. You know what the Bible says? That when the Bible tells us and teaches us that when the Passover was drawing nigh and they wanted to hasten to, you know, get those bodies down, so they went to break their legs. And the reason they did that, I suppose, was it's my understanding that somebody being crucified, that they would get to where they couldn't breathe, and so they would push themselves up to enable their lungs to take air, and so they would break their legs to hasten their death. And so the Bible tells us that when they went to do that, that they didn't break the legs of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was dead already. And, you know, there had already been prophecy given that a bone of Him was not going to be broken. And so I assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. He died. He gave His life, friends, for our sins. And they took Him down and they laid His body in the tomb. There was a man of named Joseph of Arimathea, and he had a tomb where a man had never laid in, and there they took the body of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Nicodemus was one that was involved in that, and they took him and they laid him in that tomb, and death couldn't hold him. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He made the atonement. He made the sacrifice that was that had to be made if we were going to be able to be saved. And when they took his dead body down and they placed him in that tomb, on the third day, he rose again. I'm telling you, by his own power, he rose. If you read the 10th chapter of John, you'll find that Jesus Christ himself said, I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. And he was in control of both of those things. Remember what? When he stood before Pilate, remember what Pilate said to him, the way that the Lord answered his questions. And Pilate said to him, don't you know that I've got the power to release you, or I've got the power to condemn you? And Jesus made it known to him, you couldn't have any power at all against me unless it were given you from heaven. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ was in control of that. It wasn't that his life was taken. His life was given. He voluntarily, he gave his life. I've got the power to lay this life down, and I've got the power to take it up again. And I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ laid in that grave, when it came time, he took his life up again. He raised by his own power. Showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then ascended back to heaven to be with God. And he's there now, and he's alive. I promise you, he is alive. And he's coming again. He's coming again with great power. We sung about it. The next time he comes, he won't have to die. The next time he comes, he won't be coming to make an offering for sin ever again. It was only necessary for Christ to do that one time. And the next time he comes, he's coming in great power, and he's going to gather his children from all the corners of the earth, from the four winds, and he's going to take us home to be with him forever and forever, and he's going to separate his children from those who are not. And it'll be an eternal separation. But he rose. Well, those of us that have been saved, we know what that is. We know the power of his resurrection because we used to be dead. Jesus said in the first chapter of Revelation, he said, I was dead and I'm alive. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And we were dead. We were spiritually dead. Remember that? Remember when you were spiritually dead? And I'm going to say this, if you're here today and you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, if you have not had that born again experience with the Lord, and you have come to the place in your life that you realize that you're lost and you're separated from God, I want you to know that your soul is dead in that it is separated from him. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Ephesians, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And I experienced that. I remember the time in my life when I was lost. I was separated from God. I was not one of his children. Listen, there's people in the world today, and there have been for many years, there's people in the world today that say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're all his creation. But I'll tell you what, you're not his child until you're created in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But you see, Christ has power over death. He has power over death. He proved it in a physical way. He proved that while he was here on the earth. He proved that at the tomb of Lazarus. And isn't it great? Isn't it just fitting that the Lord waited those 4 days? He didn't even raise him immediately. But there was 4 days that had been passed. Lazarus had died, and his body had been dead for 4 days. And when Jesus came to the place where he was going to raise him, they even said, Lord, he's stinking by now. Well, that didn't mean anything to the Lord, did it? He just stood there before that tomb of Lazarus, and he called him by his proper name, by his given name, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. He was wrapped in grave cloths, and he came forth, and Jesus said, take those things off of him. Loose him and let him go. And the Bible tells me that the hour is coming. I read these scriptures at the sunrise service, but the Bible tells me in the 5th chapter of John that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear his voice. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ possesses resurrection power. He had the power to raise his own body, and he's got the power to raise our body when that great resurrection morning comes. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Listen, as I stood this morning in the cemetery by the graves of those that have already gone on, they were not hearing my voice. They didn't hear the sermon that I preached because my voice doesn't have enough power and it doesn't have enough authority. But bless your heart, and as I go through life, I love this thought. As I live here, I've heard the voice of my Savior. I've heard his voice from time to time. I've heard him speaking to me. And if the Lord delays his coming, and I'm the one of those that goes the way of the grave, I'm going to die with this blessed anticipation that when my body lies in the dust, that there's coming a time when I'm going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak to me. And he's going to say, come forth. All that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And so there was a time when my soul was dead in trespasses and in sins. And you know what? I couldn't bring it back. I just could not bring it to life. And there was no preacher that could bring it to life. And my parents could not bring my soul back to life. It was dead. It was separated from God because of my sin. But there was one that I was told about ever since, well, as far as back as I can remember. I was told about Jesus, who had resurrection power. I was told about the one that was able to save my soul, the one that was able to give me eternal life. And when I came before him with that dead man inside, when I came before him with my eternal soul separated from him, and I repented of my sins, and I placed my trust in the Lord. He quickened me. I'm telling you, he made me alive. He placed within me a living hope. He placed within me something that has made me throughout the years to rejoice time and time and time again in the hope and the glory of God. Listen, folks, I couldn't tell you how many times. I'm going to share this with you, but I couldn't tell you how many times I've laid down on my bed tonight at night to go to sleep, and the thought would overwhelm me that I'm going to heaven. If I don't ever see another day in this life, I'm going home to heaven to be with God because I've got that living expectation within me. And I'll tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for any other kind of religion. I wouldn't give you anything for something that I just have to say, well, you know, when I get to the end of the way and when my life is over and when the judgment day comes, you know, hopefully if I've done enough, you know, if I've done things right and done things according to God's word, I'll make it into heaven. If I haven't, then I guess I won't. Boy, I'd hate to die with that. I would hate to die with that. But I know why. I know why that people do the things that they do. I know why people get happy. I know why people shout. I know why people rejoice. I know why people, sometimes stand up and it's all that they have to do. It. They just can't hold it back anymore and stand up and testify and rejoice and praise the Lord. It's because He placed within us something that is real, something that's living. It's alive. We've got a lively hope. We've got a lively heart. I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than being dead in sin. There's nothing better than being alive unto God. No worse condition. Lost friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, no matter what happens to you, no matter what befalls you in this life, you're never going to find yourself in a worse condition than what your lost condition is. Doesn't matter if you're plunged into horrible poverty or whatever that it is. No matter what may afflict your body, being lost and without God is the worst condition known to man. You're never going to experience anything more dangerous than that. And if you turn to the Lord and seek Him and get saved, you're going to say with all the rest of us, well, there's never been anything better than that happened to me. You'll be given a lively hope. A lively hope. Jesus can give that because He has overcome death and hell and the grave. And He said, I've got the keys. I've got authority and I've got power over all of it. And if you're here today and you're lost and separated from God, I would urge you to come to the Lord. Come seeking Him because He wants to save you. He wants to give you everlasting life. He wants to make it possible for you to be able to say, well, no matter what, it's well with my soul. I have a lively hope. I have a living expectation. God gave me salvation by His grace. God is keeping that which He gave me by His power. And as I go through life, I can live in expectation of what's ahead. And when it comes time to die, God is ready to reveal, in the last time, He's ready to reveal what He has placed within us that have been saved. We are ready to be revealed in the last time. So let's have a song and